This morning we're going to talk about God's tender love. With God there is tender love. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought, because you know how powerful He is, how mighty He is, how awesome He is, how much fear God can evoke in His creatures. It's nice to know He's tender. I remember when I was just a young man, woohoo, way back, the preacher was talking about how gentle God is, and he said God is so gentle that He could pick up an ant off the sidewalk with a crane. He could, and not kill the ant. That's how gentle God is. That stuck with me over the years, and sometimes it's accepted as a good illustration, and sometimes not. But God is more powerful than we can even imagine. But yet with Him is tender mercy. And so the question I want to pose this morning is, how remarkable is that mercy? When you look at your life, you look at your own self, and you realize that God has shown mercy to you, and you realize that maybe you didn't deserve that mercy, how remarkable is God's mercy towards you now? And when you realize, I am guilty, but God has forgiven me. He could have lowered the boom on me, but what He really did was lift me up. That's how merciful God is. So we want to think about how remarkable is God's mercy and His tenderness towards us. And when we get through this morning, there's going to be a response. And Hosea chapter 11 describes it, God's mercy. Now, when we look at Hosea chapter 11, I realize we're not seeing all the history of Israel. I understand that. But there are some things that are pointed out, and Hosea describes God's mercy and tenderness from the very beginning of Israel, from the nation of Israel. He starts at the beginning. Hosea leads us through the time when God's tender mercy and love was rejected. We know they turned their backs on it. I don't know if you can imagine such a thing, but they turned their backs on it. So He describes it from the beginning to being rejected to being fulfilled, when God is going to be able to show them mercy that they will accept. Now this is a journey that, you know, I think maybe we'd say, well, you know, I really want to do this. I really like it. I really want to, but we don't understand what the cost is. To have God, His mercy rejected, and then to having His mercy fulfilled in us is not always an easy thing to do. But from the beginning, Hosea tells us about God's mercy toward Israel. This is what Hosea has to say in Hosea 11:1. When Israel, that's the whole nation, was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt I called my son. You probably remember that portion of the prophecy there in Matthew's gospel in reference to Jesus coming back from Egypt to Nazareth. And Matthew says there that this portion of Scripture, this portion of prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. But that's besides the point this morning. Israel, when Israel was a child, God loved them. And this love was given to them not because they deserved it, not because they were somebody special, but because of their father Abraham. And remember, God is faithful. He's not going to forget what He said. You know, sometimes we make a promise and it goes, we can't remember, we didn't remember, we don't want to remember. And so we forget it. That's not ever going to happen with God. When He makes a promise, He's going to stick with it. So He called them out of Egypt because of the promise that He had made to Abraham. He told Abraham that He was going to do that. Israel was like a son. I called my son. When you read Proverbs, and I know you're reading Proverbs, one proverb every day, like today should be Proverbs 13. I know. Everybody's doing that. When you read in there, when Solomon says, my son, read everybody, not just one individual. Everybody's included. It might give you a little bit different outlook. But anyway, God says, when they were young, I called them out of Egypt. I called my son. I brought him. But then, as they called them, so they went from them. Them. They, as they called them, he's making a reference to prophets. Reminding Israel, you're out of bounds here. You've gone over the line. Come on back. As they called, they went from them. They rejected the prophets. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carved images. That's what they decided to do. They refused God's agents, the prophets. And they decided they were going to sacrifice to Baals and carved images. God loved Israel in the early days. Not that he doesn't love them now. But in the early days, when Israel was still young, before they were a nation, God loved them. He brought them out of Egypt. He sent prophets to them. As a matter of fact, that bringing them out of Egypt thing is a very wonderful thing, a thought. Because in Hosea's day, none of the people alive were alive when God brought them out of Egypt. But he's still telling them that he did this and remember this. Remember what God did for you. To your forefathers, and remember God is faithful. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. If he did it for them, he'll do it for us. And God sent prophets to keep them on track. We all need a little help once in a while, but instead, they went after idols. That's how they treated God's mercy. That's how they treated God's love. Jehovah stayed with them, although he stuck right there with them. And he said in Hosea 11:3, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that it was I who healed them. They didn't know I healed them. Just like a father teaching a, look at that, isn't that a, don't you wish you could do that? You do it. If anybody needs to do this, go see Sally. She'll give you the right equipment. God is saying, and if you know the tenderness between that adult and that infant, if you can just picture it, helping that little guy to walk, taking him by the hands, showing him how to walk, that's the way God treated Israel. Helping them to get along. And he said, I did that for them. But they didn't know it was I. They didn't know that I healed them. Not only that, but Hosea also has to tell us in verse 4, he says, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck, and I stooped and fed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. Now, we don't do this. And some of the commentaries said this is what that means, but you don't tie up the kids. You might want to from time to time, but you don't tie them up. What you do is you kind of suspend them between a couple of cords to help them walk. Instead of just holding their hands, you tie something around. I don't know if that's really what they're talking about here or not. It makes for good conversation. But he says, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them who took the yoke from their neck, and I stooped to feed them. Now that is an interesting phrase. He took the yoke from their neck. You've seen what we understand to be oxen yoke. You've seen those big wooden carved things. And they set them on the ox's shoulder, put that band under their throat, fasten it up, and then they pull against this big wooden beam. Well, it could be that this thing would slide too far forward, and they wouldn't be able to eat with this yoke on. And so what would be necessary to do is to push it back. That's what he's talking about here. I took the yoke from their neck, not completely removed it, but pushed it back so that the ox that's treading out the corn can eat what it wants, when it wants to, you see. So it didn't that he took the yoke clear off, but he made their life a little more pleasant, a little more enjoyable. That's what God had done for them. So, Deuteronomy 1, 30 and 31. This is what God says, or Moses says, that he, God, will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you saw how Jehovah, your God, carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Now, we would, using what Moses said here to the Israelites, and he's trying to remind them, listen. Pay attention. The way that God fought for you in Egypt is the way he's going to continue to do it. Don't think that God's going to change that one bit. There's encouragement in this verse. He will fight for you just like he did before. Again, obviously it's not this. We're not talking about the same people in Hosea's time. But he did it for their forefathers. So I think it's worthy to note that he'll do it for this. Now, if you see that, and you know that God's going to fight for you, he's going to carry you like a son, he's going to bless you and be merciful to you, wouldn't you want to stay there? Wouldn't you want to stay in that relationship? Wouldn't you just want to live in that relationship the rest of your life? Well, as great as that would be, that care for Israel was rejected. They turn their back on it. Sure, you're thinking to yourself, how in the world could they do such a thing? How foolish it is to even give that consideration. But they rejected his care because they refused to repent. It was their choice. And they chose not to repent. Hold on to that thought a minute. The rest of Hosea 11:6 says, because they refuse to repent, and the sword will slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them. I mean, a minute ago we were talking about how God fights for you, how he delivered you from Egypt. But because they refuse to repent, God's withdrawn his care. God's withdrawn his protection. The sword's going to slash his cities. His districts and cities are going to be devoured. Because they refused to repent. They rejected God's care. Well, that care was rejected also because of their own counsel. They went by their own counsel. You ever do that? Sure, we have. Here Hosea 11:7 says, because of their own counsel, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. Here's the point. Because of their own counsel, they are bent on backsliding. Their own counsel, their own advice. How the prophets and the priests and the princes of Israel was giving bad advice to people. And so, their own counsel, not God's word, but man's wisdom, man's own understanding, which is far inferior to what God has to offer us. But they would take this counsel that said it's fine to sin, it's okay to offer to worship to idols, it's all right to get involved in the sexual immorality in the temple. Yeah, that's okay. That's the new modern kind of thing. We're modern people nowadays. We got new insights. We're better trained. We just know more stuff than what God knew back then when he gave these laws. And so, because of their counsel, they were bent on backsliding. And they're bent on backsliding. I can't remember what Carol's version was when she read it, but in the Hebrew, this means that they were like tied to it and could not release themselves. They didn't know how. Because of the counsel that they were getting, because of the wisdom that they were ingesting, they were not finding any way to undo themselves from their sin. They were bent on backsliding me. And even though he says they call on the Most High, they turn their face up. Remember their golden calf? They called it Jehovah. They said, this golden calf is Jehovah. Well, they call on the Most High, but no one exalts him. That's the difference. Using the right phrases, having the right catchphrases and words doesn't mean a thing if it's not in your heart. The conversation about people, conversation with people about what shall we call Jesus and what shall we call God? Shall we say Jehovah, Yahweh, Yahshua, Jesus? And I said, it doesn't matter what you call him, it matters if you obey him. That's what matters. You get this, I know how to pronounce God's name better than anybody, pride going on. And you know, God's love to squash you. Think about it. It's not what you call him. It's how you obey him. Are you honoring him? Are you exalting him? That's what really matters to him. You want care, don't forget to exalt him. God's tenderness was displayed here. You ever wonder what goes on in God's mind? You know, do you ever think about that? What kind of struggles does God have? Does he have struggles? Well, look at what he said. How can I give up on you, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How do I set you like Zebion? My heart churns within me. My sympathies are churned. This is what's going on inside God's heart. He's wondering, how can I give up on you? I loved you like a son. I taught you to walk. I blessed you. I fed you. I multiplied you. How can I give up on you? How can I do that? That's what God's wondering. How can I give up on you? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I do that? And these, how can I make you like Adma or Zebion? He's wondering this. Now, anybody recognize those two cities? Never hear of them before? Well, these two cities were destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. And I mean, he must have really destroyed them if we haven't heard of them. These two cities, and he's asking, how can I make you like this? God couldn't utterly destroy Israel because of his tender mercy. Because his heart was churned. My sympathy, he said, is stirred up within me. That's what's going on inside God's heart. Now, you and I, on the other hand, if we think that we all owe somebody some punishment or we're going to get even, there's no sympathy in our hearts, right? I mean, we're just going to lower the boom. We're going to give it to them and give it to them good so that they know they deserve it. But see, that's not the way it is with God. So, God's ways, God's got higher ways than you and I. Like they say, it's either my way or the highway. I'm going to tell you, don't go my way, go God's higher way. Here's God's higher way. Hosea 11:9. I want you to take this to heart. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim because I am God and not a man. Sure, you can understand the destruction, the punishment. We can understand that wrathfulness. We understand that all too well when something gets worked up inside of us and we just feel indignant and we're going to give it to them. But God says, I'm not like you. He is not like us. He wants us to be like him. I am not a man. I am the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror, although he could. You ever think of that God, if he wanted to scare you to death, he could do it? If God wanted to make you whatever, he could do it. I am the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. That's what God says. Instead of destruction, Hosea 11:10 says, they will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion, and when he roars, then his sons will come trembling from the west. The lion roars. It's like a call to attention. Call, come on, the lion is roaring. Come trembling from the west. Not because they're afraid, but because they fear the Lord. When you understand God's mercy, I think it's easier to have a fear of God. Because he doesn't have to have mercy on us. Remember that. He doesn't have to have mercy on us. They will come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria, and I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. The decree of Jehovah is, I'm going to call them back. I could destroy them, and I would be justified in destroying the whole mess, like I destroyed cities before. I would be justified. But you know, I'm not going to do that because I've got higher ways than men. I want to show you something different, something better. I'm going to call like a lion roaring, and then my people are going to come back to me, and I am going to let them dwell in their house. God said, yeah, they rejected me. Yeah, they didn't want anything to do with me. But this is what the Lord says. I'm going to let them live in their house. That's what I'm going to do. In their own house, in their own property. We shouldn't reject God's mercy either. We shouldn't be like Israel was and reject God's mercy. You recognize this verse, I'm sure. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You recognize that? Sure. Well, the therefore in Romans 12:1 refers back to chapter 11. Now, there's some interesting verses in chapter 11, if you care to look at them. Here's one, 11:25-26. This is what the Apostle Paul says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant. I love it when Paul wises us up. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He said, of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Get too puffed up. Remember, we're looking back at Israel saying, what a bunch of thick-headed idiots. Didn't they know God was on their side? We look back and say, if I would have been there, I certainly wouldn't have done that. Well, listen, Paul says, I don't want you to be too wise in your own opinion. But actually, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. Any questions about that? Pretty plain, isn't it? Well, wait a minute. For you, he's talking about us, Paul is, you were once disobedient yourself. Did you really remember that? Do you remember that part of your life? You were once disobedient to God, yet you have obtained mercy. You have obtained mercy. You know, and I really don't like to talk to those people who tell me that God got a good deal when he saved me because I was worth it. No, we aren't worth it. God's mercy is shed upon those who don't deserve it. That's all there is to it. We were disobedient. But we have obtained mercy. Even so, also have these also have been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Now listen, here's what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The mercies of God, the response to God's mercy, the reasonable response is obedience and service. We shouldn't neglect that mercy that God has given to us. Israel, at the time of Hosea, their reasonable service was loving obedience. That's all. Does it get any simpler than that? Oh, we can make it more complicated, I'm sure. But it boils down to that. Israel's reasonable service was loving obedience to God. And you know, so is ours. That's all. We offer ourselves a living sacrifice, which is the sacrifice holy and acceptable to God. That's a reasonable service. That's reasonable. To offer ourselves in loving obedience to God. So the main question is, what's holding you back from presenting yourself? Oh, you already have presented yourself. What's holding you back? Don't refuse to repent. Maybe there is something holding you back from saying, I am completely sacrificed myself, a living sacrifice to God. I am going to be a sacrifice that is holy, that is acceptable to God, because He has shown me mercy. And I said, well, I don't know if I really want to do that. Well, what's holding you back? Don't refuse to repent from what needs to be repented of. Don't fail to turn away from whatever that lie or excuse is and turn to the living God. Don't fail to do that. And don't trust your own counsel. By all means, do not lean upon your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. What's holding you back? Don't trust your own understanding. Don't trust your own arguments. Don't be your own lawyer in this thing. Listen to God. Accept His counsel. Things will go a lot better. 1 Peter 5. I think that we had this already once today. But it goes well. But may the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace will give us what we need in order to repent of what we need to repent of. Give us the strength to turn our back on the old counsel, the old word that we used to believe, and to follow Him. God is able to do that for us. This morning I want to encourage you, don't turn your back on God's mercy. Don't do it. Give it some good, long, hard, serious consideration. Meditate on what God could do that would be justified. What do you really deserve here? And what God really gave to you. And when you get that settled in your mind, then remember, what's our response to this? It's a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is our reasonable service.